Hello, and welcome to Freshwater. You're listening to a message from our pastor, Dr. Jeff Gibbon, given in one of our weekly services. You can check out our website, www.freshwaterchurch.net, for more information on our weekly services, home groups, online giving, and a whole lot more. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
All right. Well, that was Mr. Incredible, and if you disagree, you're just wrong. That's the best movie on the planet. It's my favorite. And by the way, Father's Day with Dad's root beer and chocolate and Mr. Incredible could be better. It's just awesome. Church and Jesus and it's great. So Mr. Incredible, Bob Parr, is forced to retire and enters into turns into an office zombie. We see that at the very first beginning when he's waiting for something amazing to happen. And there's this line in that whole part that says, "The supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You're still here." And that's really incredibly important for us today. As we continue this series on the superheroes, becoming a superhero of faith, that's important for us to remember. The supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You're still here. Other things, you know, waiting for the amazing, and we have need of your special gifts and so forth, all plays into this. But here, the supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You're still here. We're in the series called Superheroes, and in it we recognize you are no mere mortal, and you have the supernatural running through you. You were created to realize real change and to make real rescues. Jesus is the ultimate superhero, and in a lot of ways, we follow those qualities in him. Now, several years ago, I was being dad, and Zach and Josiah were little guys, and they were playing upstairs. And I could hear something wrong was going on upstairs. I didn't know quite right, but I just could tell something's not good upstairs. So I just yelled up the stairs, "Zach, quit it. Be good." And all of a sudden, silence. And then he came to the stairs and he said, "Dad, how'd you know I was doing something wrong?" And not wanting to give away my superpower, I said, "Because I'm the dad. That's why." And he just kind of open-jawed, mouth, surprised eyes, and went about his business. A couple days later, Michelle took the boys out shopping, and they were shopping for a present for me, and Zach, and Mom buys this present, and she explains, "Now, boys, don't tell Dad what we got him. It's a present. It's a surprise. Don't tell him what we got him." And Zach just nonchalantly said, "I don't know, Mom. I don't know if I can do that because, see, Dad knows everything I do." And so apparently, you know, it's part of my superpower. Well, you know, as we look at Father's Day, there's an important truth here. And by the way, it's for everyone. The supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You're still here. Today we're going to be looking in Luke chapter 11, and this is our main text. We'll look at some others too as well. And as we see first that a family man superhero understands good gifts. So Luke chapter 11, starting at verse 11, it says, Luke 11:11, Jesus speaking, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" That's an incredibly powerful verse on many levels. One, before we even kind of dive into the superhero spot of it, I want to just kind of bring up this text's importance in Christian theology. Christian philosophers, Christian theologians, one of the debates that goes on is, what is the role of God's sovereignty and human responsibility. And some in that argument are all the way on one side, that everything is God's sovereignty. Every action, everything that you do, everything that someone else does, absolutely everything is really not choice. It only appears to be choice. It's actually God's sovereignty flowing through them. Now, the reason they say that is that, well, our hearts are so depraved, so wicked, that we have no ability to do good. Now, there's all sorts, and this debate has gone on for years, and there's large books written on the subject and so on and so forth. But I want to point out to something as an aside here. It says, though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. And that's an important part there, is that we are able to give good gifts. We are able to do good. Now, there's a whole lot more to that, the philosophical, theological discussion. But just as an aside, look at what this text does. It affirms that you have the ability to give a good gift. You understand goodness, even right here. Well, one of the things I like about Mr. Incredible is that he's a family man superhero. His whole family is involved, and you saw there, he went from office zombie, and if you watch the movie, you'll see that he was really an office zombie before this. And then he re-engages with his family, and his family's involved, and he's a family man superhero. He's very much loves his family, cares for his family, involved with his family. And in this, we see in this text and in his example of the movie, more than ever before, our culture needs good gifts. And that's especially true in our culture today. See, it doesn't seem to be eggs versus scorpions so much anymore. Today, the scorpions are much better dressed, it seems. Our culture needs dads who give truly good gifts. Too often, people are challenging Jesus' statement that we do know how to give good gifts. Jesus and our need here as a family man superhero is to give good, truly good gifts to our children. By the way, Jesus is not saying give your kids whatever they ask for. If a kid asks for an egg and you won't give them a scorpion, he's not saying give them whatever you ask for. He's saying give a good gift. And quite at the very basic level, it is to give your children nutrition, not harm. That's as simple as you can get, as blatant as you can get. Nutrition, not harm. The greatest gift, Dad, is you. That's the greatest gift you can give your kids, is you. Good gifts are the physical thing, are just tools to spend time with you. Engage their imagination. Teach your values to spend time with you. If you think about the favorite gift you ever got from your dad, it likely involved his time, his presence. That's the best kind of gift, is to give of yourself, to give you to your kids. By the way, that is a reflection of the cross, isn't it? See, our Heavenly Father is also a dad, and He is giving His very best to us, to you. The cross is self-sacrifice. The cross is teaching values. The cross is giving time together. See, without the cross, we are separated from God. But because of the cross, we can have relationship, near, close relationship. And so those best gifts that we can give, Family Man Superhero, are gifts of ourselves. Teach values, engage the imagination, but also gauge ourselves, relationship. When we recognize that the best moments of our dads, we see those great gifts. When you think of those very best moments, if you were to run the highlight reel in your brain of the best times with your dad, it's really a reflection of those qualities, isn't it? It's those times of self-sacrifice, those times of nearness, those times of relationship of fun together is a reflection of the cross. Values, time, relationship. The supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You are still here. And so the Family Man superhero we see that understands good gifts. But the Family Man superhero also is made for a mission. And that's important. By the way, that is the linchpin of the movie. The difference between the office zombie and the engaged dad was the mission. The mission made the difference. And by the way, that is what really makes a Family Man superhero, is a mission. We are made by a mission. Now, I'm going to pull up a text, 2 Chronicles 20, 27 and 28. And if you have Bibles, feel free to turn there. We're going to go back to Luke. But this is returning from a mission. And it says, then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men, I want to underline, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went into the temple of the Lord with harps and lutes and trumpets. Wow, this is a cool text. And this whole chapter, by the way, is a great chapter. I invite you to read it. It's a fantastic chapter to read. It begins with Jehoshaphat. He is leading Israel, and an overwhelming army appears. And people are scared, and they begin to pray like never before, and worship, and seek God. And through that, God says, the battle's not yours. Don't worry about it. The battle is God's. And so all the men go out to face this enemy, and they didn't have to even fight. The other enemy took care of themselves. And they rejoiced. They came home rejoicing. They went on a mission. And they returned different. Now, the difference between going through the motions mindlessly and in being an engaged dad is a mission. Jehoshaphat and Israel saw that. They were threatened. They went on a mission. They came back different, changed. Interestingly, though, the same type of thing happened to Paul. It's found in Acts 14:27. It says, on arriving there, this is Paul returning back, they gathered the church. So he's gone on a missionary trip. He's come back. He's arrived at the church in Antioch, his home church. And it says, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he was opening the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now, what's interesting about this text is that if you review his first missionary trip, it wasn't all roses and glory. It had a lot of persecution and rocks thrown and bad stuff happening, but still, he returned from the mission changed. See, Family Man superhero, we're made by mission. When we go on a mission, the mission of God, it changes us. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if it is just fall down crazy, wonderful victory like Jehoshaphat saw, or kind of a mixed bag, to say the least, that Paul saw. Mission changes us. We need a mission. It's not just the victory. Something else has happened here. And we are created for mission. Now, for me, Dad's Day, Father's Day, I think, first off, when I think of what's the most amazing day, you know, I always think tomorrow. Tomorrow is the most amazing day. It's going to be great. And tomorrow's going to be fantastic. And now that I think about it, you know, I actually sang a solo once in a play. The song was in Annie, I was the president, and President Roosevelt in the play. I sang, you know, tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. I don't know. Well, anyway, that's an interesting thing. But I always think tomorrow. But, you know, if I go past that, I think, you know, the best day was the birthdays. Not my birthdays, my boys' birthdays. And each day I held those little boys. I did something, I don't know, maybe this is something every dad does. But, of course, he looked in their eyes and kissed them and just thankful and pray and all those great things and share the joy and isn't this great? One of the things I did is I spent a lot of time holding those little hands, every one of them. And, you know, just kind of a profound thought kind of went through with me is that these hands will hold my hands all my life. Well, for one of us, one of the adults in the room, Michelle or I, one of us will have life without the other's hand. But kids are different. And, you know, of course, there's always a possibility of tragedy, but barring that, these hands will hold my hands for the rest of my life. That was a moment of relationship. That was a moment of realizing the need to connect. And also, it was a commission. You see, from that moment on, every day, I'm on a mission. Mission began. There are bad days, there are good days, there are normal days, but every day is a mission. See, from that first moment of holding that hand, I'm on a mission to make men. Make men. Four boys given to me. My responsibility, my mission is to make men. Well, Mr. Incredible begins, he starts as an office zombie. And I call him that. You even see him at work. He's kind of half there, and his eyes are not quite connecting to anything. He's blurry-eyed. He's not there. He's an office zombie. And he changes incredibly to an engaged dad and much more when he went on a mission. Mission changes you. And it doesn't matter if it's a huge mission to the other side of the world or if it's Serve 7 at Freshwater. A mission changes us. We need that. We need that as superheroes of faith. We need the mission. It changes us. The supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You're still here. Family Man Superhero also understands where the amazing comes from. Remember the very beginning, he asked the kid, what are you waiting for? Well, something amazing, I guess. You and me both, remember that? Well, that's something we see right back here in Luke chapter 11 as Jesus is explaining this idea of fathers knowing how to give good gifts. He's using that to relate to how the Heavenly Father says, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Well, that's incredibly important. And that tells us also, by the way, where the amazing comes from. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. God's Spirit interacting with us, leading us, guiding us, empowering us. That is where the amazing comes from. And there's an important truth in this text that a lot of Christians miss. There was a day when I was extraordinarily nervous with Michelle, and we were going on a date. She was visiting from Duluth to my farm outside of Rochester, Minnesota. And here's the picture. That's us. Yep, that's the date. And I was extraordinarily nervous. She had visiting. I was taking her to my favorite steak place. And it had just the best filet mignon. And we were going there. And I was extraordinarily nervous. And you'll notice my hand is in my pocket. I kind of like putting my hand in my pocket. But that's not why it was there. It was there because I was nervous about a whole list of things. One of those things was, will I lose the ring? That was the day right there. That was proposal day right there. And my hand is in my pocket because I'm fumbling with the ring. Later I'd put on a suit jacket and I thought it's going to fall out of that pocket for sure. I'm going to put it in the suit coat pocket. And my hand was in the suit coat pocket about every 2 minutes because did I lose the ring? I better not have lost the ring. That would be terrible. Did I lose the ring? And every 2 minutes, my hand was in that pocket. Now, the restaurant we went to had the best filet mignon. I top three that I've ever been to, and most of the time top one. And to be honest, I never tasted it. The whole dinner, I was so nervous. I was nervous about losing the ring. I was nervous about stumbling over my words. I was a little nervous about what she said, but more so, I was nervous about the moment. We were at that point in a relationship. I kind of had an idea, even though that still runs through the back of your head. So we made it through dinner. Again, I'm checking my pocket every couple of minutes. And we go to a river just a couple blocks away from the restaurant. There's a waterfall. We walk by the waterfall. There's a kind of an antique covered bridge. It's not used anymore. We walked by that. There was a stone bench. We sat and talked and watched the river for a little while. And then we walked a little bit more. And it was got to kind of a private spot. And I pulled out of my pocket a hanky. And I threw it on the ground. And she looked at me like, huh? And I put my knee on the hanky. And then she went, oh. And I pulled out of my pocket the ring. And I asked, Michelle, will you marry me? And I had a kind of a long thing put together. And she was shocked. Later she said, I could tell you were nervous. And I was like, why is he nervous? And but she was shocked. She, you know, it wasn't like, this is totally out of the blue, but she didn't expect it that day. And she did say yes. This was that day, 25 years ago today, June 17th, I asked her to marry me. And I remember that date because we wanted to get married on a Saturday in June, which the next year, a year from that date, would be a Saturday in June. And specifically, I said, would you marry me a year from today? And we couldn't plan a June wedding a year in advance. Everything was booked. Everything was booked, June wedding a year in advance. We planned a wedding in 2 months. We finally gave up after a while. We tried to plan, and then we said, my parents actually said, why don't you get married now? What are you waiting for? So we planned a September wedding in 2 months. Couldn't do it. But all of that to kind of come back to this truth. You see, at that moment when I'm on my knee, all that Michelle had to do was say yes. She didn't need to convince me. She didn't need to impress me. She didn't need to do anything but say yes. And that's important with this text, because if we look at where does the amazing come from, it's right here in this gift. If you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, it's simple as that. Relationship with the Father is just waiting for a yes. It's waiting simply for an ask. He's not saying, well, if you prove yourself, or, you know, if you impress me. He's simply waiting for an open heart. He's simply waiting for the question. He's simply waiting for the yes. Good gift. The good gift that the Heavenly Father wants to give, is the Holy Spirit. He wants to give the Holy Spirit. No convincing necessary. He wants to give that to you. If you want to see the amazing, welcome this wonderful gift. The Father's gift is indeed entirely amazing. As we've been talking about what constitutes an amazing gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit ignites our imagination. What could be? How could our calling and our gifts, all wrapped up in the Holy Spirit, be used for His glory? The Holy Spirit teaches values, ultimate values, pointing us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is time with us in the closest relationship. The Holy Spirit is empowering too, more than you could ever do alone with Him. Well, Family Man Superhero, you might be looking at this, and I always try to do a little life integration. How can we practically put this out? I'm going to do something a little different today. And that is, how do you take care of a Family Man superhero? Family Man, and so I call this the Family Man Superhero Care Kit. How do you take care of a Family Man superhero? First off, and every guy in the room is going to say, we need toys. We need toys. Family Man superheroes need toys. And the reason we need toys is really they're gifts of ourselves. We see the truth. One of the reasons I like the Mr. Incredible movie is that there are a lot of biblical truths lived out in the movie or portrayed to us. And one of them is that, do you notice that he started playing with his kids? Guess what? The toy didn't mean much of anything. It was time together. And yes, sometimes we get a little goofy with our toys and we misuse toy. But toys are meant to be tools. Tools for relationship. And so Family Man superheroes, how do we take care of them? We need to give them toys. Toys that are tools. Not things that take them away from family, but things that engage the family. Well, what else do we need to take care of Family Man superhero? Next is a mission. We need something where that we go and we accomplish and we do and we face a foe and it's a mission. Without a mission, the Family Man superhero's brain turns to mush and soon he's back to being an office zombie. He needs a mission to go on to turn that zombie back into the engaged dad. Now, I know we wish the mission was laundry, right? Your mission, should you accept it, is laundry. It never works that way. I wish it would. Do the laundry, yes, but that's not the mission. Then, third, opportunities to say yes to God. We've been talking about the amazing. Where does the amazing come from? And, there are so many substitutes available that just don't fit the bill. We need to say yes to God. And that, by the way, is one of the purposes of church. It's another way to say yes to God. It's another opportunity to say yes to God today. And fourth, the Family Man superhero needs cheer. Dr. Adrian Rogers was a famous pastor and all-around good guy. And he was on the radio. He just had a great heart and loved God and was really a great example in many areas of his life. And he tells a story of actually something that was really famous about him. One of the things that he led a very large church, he led a denomination on lots of impact around the world as well through his radio ministry, speaking ministry. But his relationship for his wife, he's now passed, but his wife, Joyce, they had a very close marriage, very admirable marriage. And he tells a story that was kind of the worst kept secret because everybody knew it, that in his office he had a picture of his wife, and he died at 74. He worked and he retired just 6 months before he died. So he had a picture in his office of his wife. They were high school sweethearts. And it was a picture of his wife in her cheerleading outfit. And she had written at the bottom of the picture, "I'll always cheer for you." And it was in his office for well over 50 years. And he said that picture did more for him on bad days than anything else. And one of the great things about their relationship is you saw that closeness, but you also saw the cheer of the Family Man superhero. Family Man superheroes don't need flattery. They don't need flattery. But cheer is something entirely different. They don't need kudos. Cheer is something different. The supers aren't gone, Mr. Incredible. You're still here. Today, we honor dads. But for the sake of this series, this is for everybody. It's more than just dads. It's everybody. A superhero of faith is family focused. A superhero of faith is family focused. Focused on good gifts that lead to deeper relationship. A superhero of faith is mission focused. Nothing, nothing is more engaging than the effects of mission. A superhero of faith is also spirit focused. The most amazing relationship we can have is with the Holy Spirit. No matter who you are, the red phone is ringing. The commissioner is calling. And the superhero of faith is just what we need. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this opportunity. Opportunity to honor dads, opportunities to be challenged by your word to be a superhero of faith. And Lord, right now we turn our hearts again towards our family, towards investing in them, sacrificing of ourselves, teaching values, spending time, deepening relationship. And Lord, we come to you again and we pray for the opportunity of a true mission. And most of all, Lord, we come to you today. We have heard your proposal. We have seen it loud and clear on the cross. And we come to you humbly, thankfully, earnestly, excitedly, joyously, and say yes to you. Come into our hearts. Lead us away from temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Freshwater Church meets in Gilbert, Arizona. Please check out our website for more information, freshwaterchurch.net. You may also email us at office@freshwaterchurch.net. If you have some tough questions about the Bible, God, or the church, feel free to email us at questions@freshwaterchurch.net. God bless, and we hope to see you soon.